Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
Voices, animal voices, the tremble of cold, the feminine adversary reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Reel in the light, wave in the frightful sensory deprivations of the universe outside of the boundaries of common understanding. Let the sunshine be brighter than the brightest thing you could ever possibly imagine. Let it fill the center of your soul with warmth, kindness, caring, and a soft spot for cookies and brains. The end of the universe is coming. There will be no going back from this point. We shall all be in sound, entombed, enshrined, encompassed, engaged, and a whole bunch of other N-words that combine and produce a singular a metamorphic, calligraphic, consensual exploration of sensory deprivation and beyond the possibility of an endless, boundless darkness, shadowy whisper of possibility creeping through the night into the ether, sprinkling little tidbits of tantalizing, tasty treats, all choice meat, all tasty treats. Can't you just think and gobble it up and be ready for the apocalypse as is about to be born, as is about to explode across the infinite mind space of all potential catastrophic apocalyptic appearance of possibilities that cascade away from this particular point in time towards another in particular intervention time, and there will be no end to the possibilities of everything coming together and creating a system of pandemonium and catastrophically corrupted and conditional and all that other stuff that goes on with that. And say, hey, how's it going, EW?
Not Star-Lord.
Yes, Star-Lord is getting married.
I can't believe that. I'm still
spoiler alert. Oh, wait, that's a post-spoiler alert. Oh, well, I don't think anybody reads that particular series of comic books. Just me. I read Guardians of the Galaxy. I do.
Star-Lord.
Well, the last 6 or 7 issues of Star-Lord have always been, oh, look, Google Eyes with Kitty, and Google Eyes with Star-Lord, and ooh, Google Eyes. It's like, really? Seriously? You're going to make that kind of thing go? It's like, whatever.
I guess it's just their fan base they're trying to reach.
Yes, they're trying to reach a much younger fan base. Marvel has always been striving to reach out and capture. And I mean reach out and capture. A younger audience. They're always trying to get a younger audience, even though their biggest fan base that spends money is the older audience. And so they have stuff for it, but they keep going and doing all this other crap. It's like, hey, look, it's like young people stuff.
Reach out and touch someone.
Reach out and smack someone in the back of the head with Groot!
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, hit them with a stick. That's what I always say, right? So hit them with a Groot.
Exactly.
I've already said that somebody's posted, they said, somewhere. I don't remember what it was, but it's like, whatever, it's whatever, whatever. So, we're going to go right into this show, because we're going to talk about 3 different things I'm specifically going to talk about. We're going to start off with Dune, the 1984 movie.
Okay, yeah, hey, there's an old one.
I watched Dune, the 1984 David Lynch movie with Sting in it. Wow, were the special effects dated as hell. Oh my god. I mean, the story is still good. I mean, I love the Frank Herbert original story, so it's like I'm watching the movie. It's like, wait, they just went really fast by this, didn't they? And they did.
I couldn't remember for the life of me Jürgen Prochnow in this movie, but it's like, wow, that was heavy-handed acting. He was a heavy-handed actor. That's the way he always played his roles. But, yeah, it's an odd movie. It was even, and I really hated the way that they changed up what they called the weirding way. It's the only thing that really bugged me in the whole movie. If you're familiar with the book and the story, it's about they find a, well, the House Atreides comes up with a very special way to fight that is low cost and easy to train its troops, but is very effective without requiring a whole lot of technology or a whole lot of super duper armor and super duper weaponry. However, in the movie, they made this, look, it's a special sound module, it's a weapon. It's like, no, that's not what the Weirding Way was about. The Weirding Way was about like a martial arts form of combat that just, it's about training.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, ah, that's the only thing that really bugged me about this. Everything else, I think they got really well done as far as the tone and the texture of the book. I mean, the whole fight for Pal Muad'Dib Usul to continue on his trials to become the Messiah. I really did like the movie in time, even though it was corny. But I always remembered and thought that there was a 4-hour edition cut of this movie. And, oh, lo and behold, on the Blu-ray, there's a little thing with the, I think it's one of the sisters of Dino De Laurentiis or whatever. I guess she was part of the publicity stuff. And yes, Keenan, the one Patrick Stewart is in. Did you know that? Patrick Stewart's in that.
A young version of Patrick.
Younger version. He's still freaking bald, but he's got a ponytail.
Did this guy ever have hair?
Yes, he did have hair at one time. Ooh, if you really get an opportunity, want to get a good giggle with him, it's a movie called Life Force.
Oh?
It's a British movie. It's space vampires and stuff. Awesome movie. Love that movie. But Patrick Stewart actually has a full head of hair.
Hmm.
It's freaky. It's like, wait a sec. Patrick Stewart? Oh my god! Kind of thing. It's just awesome stuff. But back to Dune. Dune was cool. And there was a long time it was always about... yes, Gurney Halleck was Patrick Stewart. A 4-hour edit on this movie. And I always wanted to see that. Because I thought that would have been cool. Because when I remember seeing the movie as a kid in 1984, I remember it was like, there's so much missing from this. So on the Blu-ray, all the deleted scenes are there, and there's only like 5 deleted scenes, which would have added about 17 minutes. I really would have liked to have seen them put those 17 minutes back in. So instead, what they did is they edited out a small portion of it, and then replaced those 5 or 6 scenes with one scene that tries and puts all that together. Even still, it's a 2-hour movie, which back in the 80s was like, oh my god, that's such a long movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which I understand, but
Interstellar was 3 hours long, and everybody's like, "Oh, it's such a great movie." No, I haven't finished it.
What? Really?
I've been busy.
Seriously, it's 2 weeks, man.
I've been busy. I actually had my family reunion this weekend.
Please, what's more important, watching stuff for After Rod or family reunion?
Family reunion.
Don't answer that. Jabers. Okay, Interstellar's a good movie. I enjoyed that.
After Rod doesn't have barbecue.
Yes, we do.
When?
We always have barbecue. We have a barbecue every Wednesday.
You never share.
You're in freaking Texas, bro. I'm in Toronto.
No, I mean, yeah, you're right, because at this time, but I mean, let's just put it all in one thought here. With what they're doing with films today, I would totally love to see these, you know, instead of these director cuts coming out with the extra little bits, say, hey, we've added the deleted scenes in, so you're going to watch the film all the way with the deleted scenes.
Okay.
I would totally love that.
So part of that in regards to this, what she was saying is that they had a discussion session in which they were talking about the only way that they could do the movie justice is with a 4-hour version of the movie. So they had projected ideas, concepts, scenes, and stuff written out to do 4 hours, but they just didn't film all of it because they knew it would be too much to bear for an American audience at that time. It did great other places and whatever, but still, in the Americas, watching a movie, especially back then, 2 hours was too long. And even now...
But again, how long were the uncut versions of Lord of the Rings when you got the special package?
Those newer movies are anywhere from 2 to 4 hours.
Exactly.
Okay. So. But there's a difference. Those movies are edited down to watch in the theater. In the theater, it's still a two and a half hour movie only. Yeah. Right? So I was like, okay.
Did Interstellar go to the theaters?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So I guess actually, trying to think, I think Interstellar was the longest one ever to be in theaters.
Not technically.
Which one?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it's not. I mean, technically speaking, Kill Bill would be longer. Even though it is a part one and part two.
Yeah, but no, but I'm talking like, you know, they released the one film and this is...
Don't know. Never actually checked into it. And it's like, it's not really something I'm too concerned about because if I enjoy the movie, I enjoy the movie.
All right, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that was a bad thing.
But I'm going to throw out this as well. So if you're a fan or follower of the storylines of Dune, there is also a miniseries that Sci-Fi did. I think 2003, 2004, 2005, something like that. It is actually a very, very, very good version of the story.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually when Sci-Fi was young as a channel and actually it's like, we're going to do it cool, we're going to do it cool, we're going to do it cool, rather than putting sharks everywhere.
Right.
So this is actually a really good Sci-Fi production. Like, I mean, it's intensely awesome. The production value is really good. Dialogue, scripting, acting, everybody that's involved in the movie did an awesome job on that miniseries. They did a sequel miniseries as well, Children of Dune. Still good, but that's kind of a weak thing in the Herbert series anyways. The Children of Dune was like, oh, this is a filler book. But then you have the third book after that, which I can always never remember. Children of Dune, it's Dune, Children, Dune Messiah. And that was the more meat putting into the whole philosophy is where the whole cycle of Dune goes into. And they did an awesome job making a version of that in this miniseries. So...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jack Keenan is saying that Gone with the Wind and Longest Day were longer. I don't know about that. Longest Day did not seem like a long movie to me.
Might have felt like the longest day, but...
all right. Okay.
Okay. The film releases in separate parts, though, is what there is the longest one that I found, which is The Children of Gauzao or something like that.
That sounds Japanese.
Uh-huh. The next one was The Burning of the Red Lotus Temple. So, yeah.
That also sounds Chinese.
Exactly. So what I did find that were actually cinematic films. In 1987, Rasan, The Journey, was 873 minutes long.
What the fudge?
Yeah.
That sounds Chinese or Japanese, too.
Pretty much. I'm thinking what it looks like is a lot of them are more overseas where American films were just said, okay, we're just going to do this length and that's it.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite movies of all time is Equilibrium. And I think what they did is the marketing on that was awesome because in Europe, they made their money on release time. So they were going to release it in North America and they ended up doing just limited release for about a week in just a handful of cities because... releasing a movie in North America costs an awful lot of money. When you want to release, say, Avengers. Let's put up Avengers. It's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks? 2 weeks. I'm going to go see it. It's awesome. That movie probably cost them a few million dollars just to get it seen in theaters in North America. Because right. The movies pay the film... The cineplexes, the cinemas that play the movies, they pay them to run the movie. Which I always thought is an odd dynamic, because you'd figure, well, the cinema has to pay to... It's like, no. They have to pay. They get paid to run the movie.
Yeah. This is true. So you want to know the longest-running American film?
Gone in 60 Million Minutes?
No, it's actually Hamlet, done in 1996, 242 minutes.
Is that the Roman Polanski one?
I'd have to look that one up. 1996 one. So anyone want to look that up?
Not 1996, because I saw the Roman Polanski one at the theater as part of a school thing, and it's like, wow, Teach, you brought us to this? Awesome! There were naked chicks in that movie.
Top five of them, Gone with the Wind makes number six. It's not actually there. It's Hamlet, then The Iceman Cometh, Gods and Generals, Once Upon a Time in America, and Lawrence of Arabia.
Only Lawrence of Arabia is the only one I've seen.
Yeah, I think
I didn't like the rest of them. Well, Gone with the Wind I've seen, but...
Of course, Ben-Hur was at 212 minutes, but... Yeah,
Ben-Hur was okay.
Apocalypse Now made it?
That doesn't surprise me. That was a long movie.
And you want to know? Lord of the Rings, Return of the King was actually considered the longest of the three.
Of course, yeah. The third movie was the longest.
Mm-hmm.
That's because they kept adding more stuff towards the end. We've got to have the Scouring of the Shire. No, we can't have the Scouring of the Shire. We have to refer to it. No, we're not going to refer to it. It's going to be a happy ending. You suck, you bastards. I'm just saying. But, so that was my number one movie watch this weekend. My number two movie watch. This one might surprise you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Are you ready? This is a new movie.
Okay.
Are you ready? Can you guess what new movie I watched?
No movie. In theaters or on DVD?
Yes.
That didn't help.
That wasn't supposed to.
Did you watch it on... Oh, let me guess. Yeah, okay, I know what you're saying. So, technically, is the movie in theaters right now?
No, it's not in theaters right now.
Okay.
And I don't think it actually made it to theaters.
Really?
Yeah, well, it's one of those kind of movies.
Oh, now see, that's going to throw me for a loop. I'm not sure now.
I will tell you that the word dead is in it, of course.
Wow, that was no surprise. I don't know, dude. You're going to have to tell me.
Nobody in the chat room guessed either. I'm so sad. Dead Rising, Watchtower.
Oh, so see, now, I would not have thought of that one.
This is an adaptation of the TV or the video game Dead Rising.
Hmm.
So originally it was just going to be called Dead Rising, according from what I could see on IMDb. But I've never played the video game, but I've seen pictures of it, and I get the general gist of the gameplay, and it's like, oh, that looks like a fun game. I one of these days maybe I'll try it and play it. It's like, oh, it'll be fun. This movie was fun. It was goofy as heck, but it was fun. So it starts off with there's a zombie apocalypse. Apparently there's been it a couple times, and the boys that are important came up with antidote. So they have a cure. A marketable, mercantileable cure for the zombie infection. So you just take this drug once a day, and you will not turn into a zombie. Miss your dosage by a couple of minutes, bamf, you're becoming a zombie.
I think I remember the preview of this.
So that's the basic premise of the movie. It's like all of a sudden, ah, wait a sec, it doesn't work. There's a whole, conspiracy thing going through, and then there's a military involved, and then there's the FISA, not FEMA, but FISA. What's FEMA stand for? Federal Emergency...
Management Agency, I think.
Management Agency. So this is the Federal Emergency Zombie Agency. Okay, so it's like, okay, that joke, I get a kick out of it. That's hilarious. The one lady's going through the entire movie thinking her dead daughter, which just died in front of her because she just blew her brains out because she was doing the Zombrex thing as well. She keeps thinking, oh yeah, my daughter's going to be okay. I'm going to meet her again. Okay, loopy. Fine, that's fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole movie's hilarious. There's a chainsaw scene in it. There's sword play scenes in it. There's knife play scenes in it. And it's like, me and old Z, we're going to mess up the place. The kinds of messed up scenes. I loved it. The movie was hilarious. So part of the premise is also including a previous outbreak survivor who is the main character in the video game, and he wrote a book about how to survive the apocalypse, and he's being interviewed on the news with the one journalist talking about, well, how do you survive the apocalypse? Well, mostly you just kiss your ass and goodbye. and all this kind of stuff. And he's annoying as hell, but it's funny. Especially her expressions like, really, why don't we just tell them all to kiss their houses goodbye? I was like, that's what I just said. You know, it's that kind of stuff. It's really tongue-in-cheek, dark humor stuff with a half-decent good story. The one girl who's in it, I know I've seen her in something, but I cannot place her name. I'd have to go look it up on IMDb. You know what? Maybe I'll just do that. No, I'm not. Everybody else can do it. John dies. Yes, he did. He died at the beginning and he died at the end. Just saying. John, by the way. That's who we were talking about there. So, awesome movie. Very fun. Worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you watch any movies this week?
I did.
Or did you just do family gatherings?
I actually spent time with family. Actually got to learn that one of my relatives, I knew he was an NFL player, but I did not know until this weekend that he actually was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, pretty cool.
That has nothing to do with Rob Zombies, though.
No, it doesn't. But
unless, of course, he is a zombie, in which case, okay, cool.
No, but I met a few people that might be zombies. I just don't know.
I know a lot of people who are zombies. Some of them are still dead.
That would be pretty scary.
I don't know. It doesn't scare me.
Especially when they start talking back.
Still doesn't scare me, none. I talk back to everyone. You got something you want to say? I say. I give you an answer. I give you a question. I'll give you some numbers, too. And there may even be a stick.
Well, I was thinking more of a jaw drops off.
One of the others, two of the three. I don't know. Whatever. What movie did you watch?
I honestly didn't. I've got one. Okay. I got one here in my hand. Called.
You still haven't finished Interstellar, though.
No, I haven't. But I've got one that I want to see. It's called Rear Window.
The Alfred Hitchcock one?
Yes.
Dude, you still haven't seen that?
It was given to me as a gift, and I am going to try to watch it. Yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, then I think I'm going to segue here for a bit. No movies for you.
I know. What can I say?
Okay, we're going to do some comic books talking here.
But I did see. I know you're going to make me stop this too. I did see Agents of Shields last night.
Haven't seen it. So shut up. We're talking comic books now, bro.
Okay.
You ready?
I won't tell you that Deathlok really, yeah.
I've already seen Deathlok show up. Whatever. Okay. So some of the comics that came out this week. Convergence number 3. Guess what? I'm still not liking it. Wolverines number 15. I didn't want read it yet, but it's like, it's okay. It was starting to pick up and kind of getting cool.
Yeah, about time.
Yeah, it's 15 issue episodes in. It's a weekly comic book. It better bloody well start picking up. Star Wars, number 4. Ooh, I like it. It's all about Darth Vader. Yum, yeah, 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 yeah. So, Guardians of the Galaxy, The Black Vortex, Omega, the one that we referred to allusively earlier about Kitty Pryde and Peter Quill, Star-Lord, getting married. Spoiler alert. Frankenstein Unbound, number 2. Oh, by the way, that was issue number... No, that was in Omega. It was in a single issue. Frankenstein Underground, number 2. Mike Mignola, Dave Stewart, Ben Stenbeck take on the Frankenstein myth. Ooh. By the way, he goes to hell. Clive Barker's Nightbreed, number 12. Yeah.
Still going?
Huh?
Nightbreed's still going?
Yeah. It's a good story.
Hmm.
One of my favorite comic books of current times, Zombie Tramp, number 10. Woohoo! I've got three covers. The Mendoza cover, the... Naughty cover and the regular cover.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I just have to. Chew, number 48, because it's an awesome comic book series. Lady Mechanica, the Tablet of Destinies, number 1. We're looking forward to see what that one goes. Godzilla, Rulers of Earth, number 23. We got more Space Godzilla and all sorts of other fun stuff in there. Guardians of the Galaxy, number 26, because, you know, I'm Groot. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number 14 for season 10, if people are following. Inhuman Special, one shot, and I don't know what it's going on about, but I'm hoping to enjoy that one. One of my other favorite series is going on right now, Zombies vs. Robots, number 4. Yay. Creepy, number 20. I like that stuff. And one that is I'm going to share online and make Jack very jealous, and he's probably going to try and get it, and he probably won't be able to, because it's limited to 450 editions.
What?
Cave Woman, The Zombie Situation, number 2, with the Monty Moore Special Edition cover number F for Frank. Love the artwork on this. It's awesome.
Frank Carter.
Huh?
No, nothing.
What? What? What?
Frankenfurter?
Frankenfurters. Yeah, seriously. What he said. So, that's my comic book roundup for today. I think that calls for an intermezzo.
That was a short comic book run.
Yeah, it was actually a short, small day today, this week. But I will also mention that I did get something else really cool today. The Ghost in the Shell is a new movie series called Arise, and Spaceship Yamato, the Blu-ray, looking forward to watching that again. And even more importantly, the, where is it? The Frank Frazetta playing cards.
Oh, what?
Yes. Officially licensed artwork of Frank Frazetta's on playing cards. Me likey. Me happy.
Yeah, sounds like it. Okay, we'll play.
Intermezzo time!
Never.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey, nap time over. A couple of quick things to throw. One, Keenan made a point about Galaxy Quest. Don't know if you've all heard it or not, but they're looking at doing a Galaxy Quest TV series. It's like, what? Mm. Okay, cool. Wonderful. Who's Art Friggin' Adams?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he's talking about there. I'll find out later, I'm sure. Another thing. Netflix is apparently pulling Full House back into the rotation and doing a new series. Like, what? Let it die already. Screw it.
I saw that.
It's like, what the? Blah. DC? DC has all of a sudden started hearing people again. Yes. Girls like comics, too. Oh, we're going to put a series together for girls? Wow. Isn't that just, like, the bee's knees? Not any more I have to say about that. Fourth thing was, what the hell was the fourth thing? There was a fourth thing. Oh, yes, Bruce Campbell apparently is going to be playing one of the captains in a new Star Trek series.
Okay.
That I am particularly excited about or interested in. Wait, is it? Press conference is back on. Wait a sec. Where? I have to get my confirmation in an independently verified source. Doom, 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 doo, da, doo, doo, da, doo. Ash versus the Evil Dead. Ooh. Cool, cool, cool. But this is not what I'm looking for. So I have to find the right thing that I'm looking for. Man, I know I had that information here in my fingertips, but it's gone. Damn it, gone.
I didn't do it.
Yes, I think you did.
Okay, but nobody can prove it.
Yeah, I'm sure they can.
Nuh-uh.
Somebody said something about it. And news. Let's see if I can find the news. What's the news?
As I say.
Okay, so he's going to be in the Evil Dead movie. Yes, we knew that. What's this one? Ah, well, he's going to be in some new stuff. So, that's cool. Yep. Yep. Awesome stuff. We're going to pass on and go back to here. Don't know Asgardian Wars. What? What the hell is Jack talking about?
Thor.
What about Thor?
Has tits.
She does. So does her mom. And her grandmom. But I'm not going to talk about them either.
He's not talking about breasticles on the show.
I will, but not right in this moment. Asgardian Wars. What? I'll look that up later. But I'll make him feel very sad when I show him the one cover of this comic that I got. That's very evil of me. That's what I'm just going to do. So, for the rest of the show, do you know what we're going to talk about? Chickens.
Oh. No cookies?
Oh, he's talking about that. Okay. He was talking about the comic book I was talking about, just the different one. I don't have that one, though. I want cover F. I didn't get cover F for Cave Lady number one. However, we are going to talk about the fine, fine art of chickens and cookies. No, wait, no. Daredevil. Yes, Daredevil.
Ah!
By the way, just to make it all safe and secure for all the minds at home listening to the show, spoiler alerts! Just going to get that one out of the way right off the bat. If you have not watched the show, you are doing yourself a disservice. Go watch the bloody thing. And by bloody thing, I mean bloody. Lots and lots and lots and lots of bloody. But, realistic. So realistic. I'm so impressed with this show. I had to binge watch the whole damn thing as quickly as I could. It's an intense story. And one of the things that really, really works is something that Netflix can do that's unique to the way it's situated rather than a standard cable show. I've been reading some statistics recently in the news this is only about Canadian television, not U.S. subscriber bases. But the Canadian television cable companies are complaining right now that they have had a drop-off of cable subscribers, so much so that they are actually now going into the negative of new subscribers for on a yearly basis. Up until about 5 years ago, they had strong positive growth year over year, anywhere from 19 to 80,000 new subscribers regularly on a yearly basis. Now they're looking at losing 17,000 when they consider the fact that family growth and users and everything else in cable were always consistently growing. All of a sudden, hey, look, Netflix. Hey, look, internet. Hey, look, who needs to watch TV on a regular TV? Mm-hmm. Like on cable. It's like, what the hell? This is not necessary. I don't want to watch the TV show at 9 o'clock because it comes on at 9 o'clock. I want to watch it when I've got time to watch it. My life is too busy for cable.
And that has been the thing. Everybody just feels like their time's being rushed and they don't have time to watch.
Exactly. So it's like now with the way Netflix does it, where they release the whole show all at once, all in the same thing, you can watch the whole damn thing at your time speed. Mm-hmm. And I hate watching episodic TV. I watch Walking Dead as religiously as I can because I want to see it as soon as possible. But it's just one of those shows. If I could get the whole show all at once, I would much rather prefer that. I hate having to wait a week to see what happened to whom, blah, 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 blah. Because I always do these cliffhanger endings. If the shows were like Twilight Zone, where it's like episode one, is all episode one. Episode two is a completely different story. That would be different. That's not episodic anymore. That's anthology-based. And I love that.
Right. But
what I love with what they've done with Daredevil is, in that 13 episodes, you are looking at maybe 10 days story time has gone by?
Well, yeah, because when they say whatever timeline is there, that's the actual timeline that's happening. Instead of like, you know, these, oh, you got to wait until next week for the next episode. And you're just like, eh?
Right. But each episode is, it segues into the next episode. It's like chapters.
Okay? Right.
It's not like watching, oh, and by the way, they solved the problem today and tomorrow the story continues because there's something new. It's each episode is a chapter of the much longer story arc. And this is the way comic books work and work well, is that when you have a storyline that broads over across a number of issues, you make it chapters so that it continues as a regular story that's ongoing, it's ongoing, it's ongoing. If you were to watch Daredevil as an episodic TV series, sorry, I had to say that because the response in the chat room, that's like, that was an ew thing. It would be driving me up the wall because it's like, they'd get to that point and like, bam, oh, crap, now what happened? And then you'd have to wait a whole week to see what the next thing was. That would drive me up the wall. Which is why I really, really think TV shows, good ones, are going to be working towards this model more. Daredevil has proved that this kind of mode works.
Oh, for sure.
I'm sure there are other TV shows on Netflix. I've just never watched an actual thing on Netflix proper. This is probably the first show that I would say is a Netflix show that I would have watched this way. And I think for the type of show, a superhero spandex type crowd, this is brilliant. The way that this show is put together is freaking awesome.
Right.
And then just purely in the show itself, the attention to detail on the dingiest little things is mind-blowingly intense as far as I'm concerned. Just the things about how the main guy who's playing Daredevil, who's playing Matt Murdock, the things like he actually, I would believe he was blind.
Right. Well, you were saying that last time because of the you know, reactions and the way he did certain things. And that's true. I mean, he really did pull a really good role off for that.
And the guy playing Foggy, perfect casting.
Right.
And the lady playing Karen Page, oh my God, she's perfect for that role. And the Vanessa character, I didn't really even know the Vanessa character until it was pointed out to me. It's like, holy crap, that's right. By the way, just to preamble, oh wait, I've already spoken for about 10 minutes about this. Daredevil is a comic book. I never really liked it. I was not a Daredevil comic book fan. It's just, it was, out of the hundreds of comic books out there available to be picking up and reading on a regular basis, I thought it was fairly boring. It was just not my kind of thing. He's not got any superpowers. He just didn't really stand out for me. But as a TV show, this freaking rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're not as big a fan of some Marvel properties in this type of thing, you may not have noticed a few things. So for those of you who didn't notice, I'm going to point them out for you. Did you notice the symbol on the little packets of heroin that the Lady Gao's tribe was circulating?
I did notice, but here's the bad part. I could not remember what it was.
Serpent.
Well, no, I knew that part, but I mean,
it is a serpent, and the character's name that it represents is called the Serpent.
Oh, okay.
It is a reference to Iron Fist.
Ah.
Okay. So the one line that she gives to Leland at Spock is like, "Oh, you're going home? Yeah, I'm going home. It's very far away. I didn't think China was that far. I am going much farther than China."
Yes.
She's going back to Kunlun, which is the land where Danny Rand learns how to become the freaking Iron Fist.
Who will be joining probably in the next season.
No. He has his own Netflix series coming out.
Yeah, but the way I read this...
There will be crossovers galore, yes.
Yeah.
Because Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Power Man are all characters that were situated in Hell's Kitchen.
Right.
Okay? So that whole segment of a storyline will intersperse between the four of them. There will be quite a bit of interacting. There will be no major heroes from the movies, the big movies like Avengers and Iron Man and all that. Those characters will not show up in the TV show. They will be referenced to. They will not show up in any of the movies. However, the characters from the TV, because this just all happens to be because of the way the contracts were signed, some of the characters in the TV shows might show up in some of the movies.
I do remember reading some of those, and I do know one of them, or a couple of them that might show up, yeah.
Yeah, and the whole sequence of these four TV shows is preferencing the movie coming out for the Defenders.
Which I can't wait.
I'm so totally, but okay, we got three years to wait for before the freaking Defenders movie comes out.
I know, well, what are they going to do with this storyline that's going to be able to... I mean, obviously they can do it. That's going to entice everyone, but it's just like you want to know now. I don't want to know. I don't want to wait. I want to know now.
Exactly, and that's how I had felt for like 2 years waiting for Guardians of the Galaxy to come out. It's like I know it's going to be good or it's going to really suck bad, but I was so happy when it was awesome.
Yeah. Right.
Now, just so that we're clear on the discussions going on in the chat room about Batman. The Christian Bale Batman movies I liked. The first one I liked. The second one I liked best. The third one was like, it was okay. I don't know why we're going on with that discussion. But just so we're also aware, I am not liking Convergence. Really, 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 really not liking Convergence. Oh, right. Okay. I wasn't a big Batman reader as well. So it's like a lot of similarities to Daredevil. And this is the same reasons. Like, he doesn't seem all that exciting to me. And by the time I'd actually started reading the stories of either Daredevil or Batman, there had been so many out there, such a large mythology behind it. It's like, I really wasn't getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the Batman stuff I like. The Elseworld Batman stuff I love. Where Batman's a Vampire, it was an awesome series. Red Rain, I believe it was called. Gotham by Gaslight is an awesome series. There's a few other... Batman versus Predator was fun. Yeah, there is. There really is one. And there's the Superman versus Aliens as well. It's like, ooh, I'm going to have to read that one. So things like that. No. It's not that I didn't like Daredevil or didn't. I did not like Daredevil. I just did not get interested in it. Same with Batman. Batman was not interesting to me. Not because it didn't have powers, but I did say superpowers is one of the particular elements of what I wasn't getting into at that time. They just didn't seem exciting to me.
Right.
Okay? And that's just to clarify what they're talking about right now. They didn't seem exciting to me. There was nothing really special about them. Batman's whole myth arc ever since has become, oh, he's such an awesome mind-thinking person. He can figure a way out. He's got 40 plans already laid down to deal with everything. It's like, really? Okay. Sure, go with that.
Okay, while you're on the Batman thing, I have to ask, did you watch the preview?
Yeah, we talked about that last weekend. No, last week.
The new preview.
Yeah. Dawn of Justice?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. Came out, oh wait, was that just released on Friday? Sorry, we didn't talk about that.
No, we didn't.
There was another, there was the Star Wars one that was released at the same time.
Yep. We did talk about the Star Wars one because we were, like, loving the Chewie, I'm home thing.
Yeah.
Or we're home, but...
We talked about Batman, I'm sure of it.
No, because it didn't come out until Monday.
No, it came out Friday, I saw it.
Either way, you know what I mean.
Well, either way, I am cautiously optimistic again. I think the movie will look nice. I think it will probably be a half-decent story. I'm not 100% certain where it's going to go. I still... Do you bleed? No. I'm going to make you bleed. That line is kind of goofy. I still can't buy What's His Nut as Batman. I'm not feeling it. What I didn't really feel about the trailer was like, where the hell's Wonder Woman? Where's Aquaman? Where's all the other goofy people that they were going to showcase?
All the people that were claiming are going to be in it and make a big stink about. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I was like, okay. Don't know if that's really going to be part of it, or they're just going to have these tiny little bits. Oh, look, there's a guy who talks to fish. Oh, there's a chick who has a golden lasso that's going to make whatever. Wait, I don't think she's got a gold. What the hell? Sort of thing. I'm not sure. It looked really cool. Like, visually stunning kind of trailer. So it's like, okay, great. Maybe they've got some possibilities of making this actually cool. But they did that with the last Superman movie, too. And then I was really disappointed by that.
Well, and we've talked about this in the past where they've taken movies and the trailer was the best part about the whole doggone thing. So I'm afraid that's what this is going to be, is it's going to be one of those, hey, the trailer is the best part of the whole... Wait, what? You know, yeah. It's going to be one of those.
I agree. I think it might very well run that way. I'm hoping it won't. I'm hoping that they're getting it enough positive feedback to say, let's make it cool. Like, yeah, let's do that. As opposed to, let's make it flashy bomb. Okay, that's just going to bomb.
Well,
so I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm not gonna bank on it.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm ready to give the spoilers now.
Which spoilers?
Back to Daredevil.
Good, because I love the Daredevil. Dude, the guy playing Kingpin at first, from the first couple episodes, like, the guy's a wuss, man, what the hell? He's such a baby. It's like, dude, this guy's a baby. And then he goes and kills the one guy with a car door. I love that. It's like, smush, mush, mush. Okay, and the guy's spraying down the hose. It's like, yeah, bits of brains, bits of brains, bits of brains. when he gets, what he did to Leland?
Mm.
So, I'm not gonna, you know what? Damn, I didn't think you were going to find out, so I'm just going to take half your money. We'll call this a win, kind of not quite a win-win. So are we all on the same page here? And Kingpin is like, you are stealing from me! No! It's like, dude, that was awesome. I just
didn't see that coming, though, did you?
Oh, no, I saw that coming a mile away, because there's like no way Kingpin was going to let that kind of thing get away.
Oh, no, I knew he was going to do something. I just didn't see that do something coming.
Oh no, I saw that coming. I totally saw that coming. It was just the kind of thing is like, yeah, Kingpin wouldn't put up with that.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter which Kingpin you had, wouldn't put up with that.
No, not at all. And I gotta say, Vincent D'Onofrio really pulled this role off like a champ, man.
He nailed it, yeah. I would agree, 100%. Like, you're showing a character that has development and potential to become even worse. I got a big kick out of the whole backstory of him being an abused child and oh my god, look, he killed his dad for beating on his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Alright. So it's like, that was pretty cool as a storyline backwards into the history for why he becomes this way. But the one thing that never really ever explained to me for Kingpin, where'd he get his money from?
Well, I mean, they were all doing illegal things, so whatever.
They were, but he started with money before doing the illegal things.
Yeah, you know what? That is a good point. I didn't pay attention to that line. I just kind of took it from...
Because he was dirt poor from his parents.
Yeah. Well, didn't he, when he was taken away, though, didn't he say he was picked up by somebody or something?
I don't know. I must have missed it.
I'm going to have to... Yeah, you're going to make me go back and watch it now again.
Well, probably. It's worth watching again. Oh, the scene in episode 2 where Daredevil has that fight scene going through the hall, which I know other people have talked about it, it's freaking awesome. It's a one-take scene.
Yeah. It was... I mean, the whole show itself was totally worth watching. The ending.
Which one? Which part?
When they donned that suit.
Oh, actually, I didn't like the suit.
Did you? You not? I mean, I just liked how he carried himself in it.
Oh, I liked the... Okay, I was right from the very beginning, before I even saw the stupid show. It's not stupid. The stupid show. I was right. I knew that the final episode was going to be the episode that they reveal the suit.
Right.
I said that always from the beginning. I said that several episodes before the TV show even freaking became done.
Well,
I knew it would be the case. Do you know why I knew it would be the case?
Because it's a backstory.
Not so much the backstory. It's because that's exactly the kind of hook that every TV show is going to want for all of their superhero fanboys. They want to see that. They're waiting for that episode when the suit comes out. They're waiting to see, oh my God, when does he put on the... Wait, that's not... That's a suit of armor.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a big kick out of how they did it. I really like that. It's just I didn't like the suit.
Well, yeah, because especially who he gets to make the suit, which was to me was kind of funny altogether.
Now, just so you know, that particular character is actually a hero in another storyline.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he becomes the Guardian. So he's another character altogether. He's actually a part of the longer story for Daredevil's... and killer characters in the show. And yes, I like the fact that the guy was... Well, it wasn't quite all there. But the half that's there was really, really good.
Right?
I love that line from Kingpin. It's like, yeah, he's not quite all there. But the half that is there, holy crap, that's really good. The writing for the dialogue in this series, pure top-notch. I would expect people would talk like this. Foggy and Matt's backstory in college, their dialogue interacting as they're going through and whatever, is like, this brings me into watching the comic books as it happens. There is nothing in this show that took me out of the sense of the show.
No, I can't say that I was ever like sidetracked by any of it. I think that's what really kept it going. I mean, you had to... I think one of their excellent points here was that you had to pay attention to understand. Mm-hmm. And keeping the audience's attention that way and making them, wait, I must have missed something. Let me go back, you know, type thing. It was perfect writing. You don't see that in any other shows today. Mm-hmm. And I think, you don't see it in any other shows today.
Not yet. Exactly. And I'm hoping that that's exactly what Daredevil is going to start doing, is setting a bar that you want to produce a good... And it's, technically speaking, Daredevil does not have a large budget. It's a small budget show. It has... only things in it are sets, scenes, choreography.
Yeah, but you could...
That's it.
There's no way if anyone sat back and said, oh, I could tell that was cheap budget. To be honest with you, they did some really good work. It looked very clean for it to be a low budget film.
But that's what I'm saying. It's the budget is in those three main things: sets, characters, choreography. And it shows. Those are very important elements. There is only one scene that I saw of any real CG in the whole series. Mm-hmm. And that's when the buildings all blew up and the fire. The fire is all, it looks like it's superimposed CG
that
stuff.
Yeah, you can tell.
That was cheesy, but you know what? It you had to expect that they weren't going to have huge budget for the show. And I want them never to have a huge budget for that show.
Yeah.
Because that will only do what Heroes, the TV series, did. Bigger budget, and we're flopping.
Yeah, I mean, of these characters... I'm trying to think. I mean, just by quick, hey, I see, and Vincent D'Onofrio is about the only character that I could pinpoint right away. Well, except for the one guy. Forgive me, brain fart. I forgot his name. The one that handled all the money.
Leland.
Leland, yeah. Leland's the only other character that I could just look at by face and say, oh, yeah, okay, I know this guy too. But when it came to the cat, Rosario Dawson. So three main characters in there that had some names from past films or past programs. Mm-hmm. You know, the rest of these, they just did not stand out as somebody you knew. So, I mean, to be honest with you, it was, I think, an awesome group of individuals.
Yeah. The casting on this was perfect. I mean, the people that they found to play the different roles, they didn't just settle, oh, my niece, she wants a role. Mm-hmm. Okay, great, she's got a role. The people, by the way, the one cop, I've seen him before in some other stuff. I've seen a couple of the other people in other stuff. The guy who plays Foggy, I've seen him in something else as well. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head. But everybody in the series, like all of the regular speaking character types, they all have played other stuff. They haven't played anything exceptionally well-known, necessarily. They haven't necessarily brought forth product or shows, projects, whatever you want to call it, and said, look, we're superstars. No. And that's one of the things that I really like about this. Because it is a lower-budget production, a lot of the money is going for the big-name actors, okay, and stunt production. The guy, whoever the stunt double doing Daredevil moves, holy crap, that guy can move.
Yeah.
You know, seriously, watching that guy go, you're looking at it and thing is like, somebody was calling it parkour a lot. And it's like, you know what? You're right. It's very parkour.
It had parkour touch to it, but I think there was like an extra choreograph in that because, I know guys who do parkour and a lot of that just doesn't hold as much.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a whole movie coming out based around parkour and it's like, it looks really stupid.
And just real quick, top four movies you would have seen Foggy in is The Butterfly Effect, Deja Vu, The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1, and Castaway.
Castaway I've seen him in. The other four I have not.
I've actually seen all four of those that I mentioned.
Well, you're very sad.
No, I just think.
But, so I just wanted to wrap up. Daredevil, if you haven't seen it, get off your ass and watch it. There is no excuse. It's easily to watch. Netflix. Playing 24 hours, really.
Foggy was in all three of the Mighty Duck movies.
Only saw the first one.
Hmm.
Would never, ever, ever, ever even thought of watching any of the 15 movies that came afterwards. Because that would just be silly.
I've had to watch a lot of things. I won't say why. Anyway.
I'm not going there because you know what? It doesn't matter. Do you know what does matter?
What's that?
After Rot matters. And you know what else I have to say about After Rot?
Listen to what good show. After Rot?
Every Wednesday, 9 p.m. You should all come back here again and again. 9 p.m. again and again. Wednesdays. Every Wednesdays. Again and again. Do you know that this is the 150th episode?
Oh, wow.
Yep.
It doesn't feel like it.
Does not indeed feel like it. I agree. So in order to celebrate and help me celebrate that, everybody should go out and buy my book, Separate and Succinct, Disparate and Distinct. How do you like that segue?
Hey, you know what? It's kind of funny. I feel honored to be the second person to be on a memorable show with you because I think Jazzy was the first. Because she was on your 100th episode.
Yep. And then we buried her in a ditch.
Yeah. Sadly, she did not give you cookies and...
She kept trying to duct tape me. It's like, what the hell, man?
Well, I saw the note. The note said that, you know, to hold zombie together, use duct tape.
No, that's only to hold parts of the zombie together. She kept trying to duct tape other parts. Like, no, no.
Hey, I don't touch those parts.
I ain't I do, but I'm not going there either.
It's all you.
So, I just wanted to say a big thank you, everyone, to coming out and watching the show. Actually, listening to the show, not watching, because if you're watching the show, it's like, I better get those cameras changed.
Close the windows.
No windows in the zombie cave.
Oh.
There are, but they're covered with black and red. and blood, guts, and scores. Like, hey, don't look in there. It's scary. Thanks for coming out to the show. Thanks for listening on a regular basis. Feel free to follow on the Facebook and the Twitter and the other things and the other things. And I'm sure that my world domination plans will continue to expand. And if you can, please share your experiences. Interact with me on the Facebook. I love to interact with people on the Facebook because Facebook is a weird, weird place, and I can meet all kinds of weird, weird people, and I just like happening to be weird. EW, thanks for being on the show. People in the chat room, thanks for coming out regularly.
Yes, sir.
And I think you've got some Hall of Famer-type dudes coming up on your show next.
Well, we're doing the still staying to the scene of independent artists, but we do have a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer right here on the station, and you'll find out who it is coming up next.
Joan Jett! No, it's not. Everyone else, have a wonderful after rotten good time.
Of a big surprise, if you go down in the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their pick.